Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Kama, daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel and Beis. We are at Amar Mar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the end of the page at the beginning of the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. And it's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to talk about is what if an animal damages while it's in the hands of one of the Dalet Shomrim, of a Shovel, a Shomer Sachar, a Socher, a Shomer Chinam. So who's going to be obligated to pay for those damages? Then the Gemara is going to discuss if you're Chayiv for Shein V'Regel in a Chatzer HaShutafim. If the Chatzer is owned jointly by two people, by both people, are you Chayiv for Shein V'Regel? It's going to seem to be a Machlokas Tanayim. It certainly seems to be a Machlokas Amarayim. Although in the end of the day, the Gemara is not sure that it's a machlokas at all. Then the Gemara is going to discuss four different rules about whose property you're chayiv for damaging in, meaning what if the property is a property that the mazik is allowed to be in, but not the nizik. The nizik is, but not the mazik. Neither the nizik nor the mazik, both the nizik and the mazik. So what are the various rules depending on who has rights to enter into those properties? Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to tell us what seems like eight dinim about paying for damages, meaning we've discussed who's chayiv and where you're chayiv. Okay, now it's time to pay. So what are the rules as far as paying for damages? So the Gemara is going to discuss some of the phrases in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is very cryptic. As the Mishnah, the Rashi and the Mishnah says, Kula must see some farish b'Gemara. So we're going to start doing that in the Gemara. We're going to start explaining what does shum kesef mean, what does shave kesef mean, three possibilities of what shave kesef means, and all the other phrases that appear in this Mishnah. So let's begin. Seven lines on the bottom of the page at Amar Mar. So Amar Mar, we had said in the Braisa, Kishihizik Chava Mazik, when the Mishnah used that phrase, Kishihizik Chava Mazik, the Braisa told us that means Lahavi Shomerchina Bashol Nosi Sachrava Socher, to tell us the din that if you are one of the Dalet Shomrim and you're watching over a shar and the animal does damage while it's in your Rishus, they can be Chayiv. So says Mar, well, Hechi Dami, what's the case exactly? So if we're talking about that the shor of the mashil does damage to the shor of the shoel, the Gemara just picks the case of shoel instead of going through shoel, shomer sachar, socher, and shomer chinam, just picks one example of shoel. Tells Rabbeinu Paritz is bothered. Why? Why do we pick shoel of all the examples? And he says, because that's the easiest case where you know that you're always chayiv, because the shoel is chayiv even on onsim. So we just picked the extreme example of shoel. So if it's a case that I borrow your shar, and then the shar that I borrowed from you damages my own shar, so le malay, why can't the mashil say to the shawel, ilu azik bialma, if my shar would have been mazik other people, you'd be the one that's chayiv to pay, because it's your job to be shomer the shar as the shawel. Now that my shar, while you were borrowing it, damages your shar, I should have to be the one to pay? That doesn't make any sense. I'm obviously pater, meaning if you borrow my shar, whatever happened, whatever my shar does during that time, I'm not responsible to pay. I don't care whether it damages someone else's shar, whether it damages your shar, whatever my shar does, when you're the one that's supposed to be watching it, I'm going to be pater. Ella, so the case must be the opposite. Daske tur de shoel, the tur de mashil. That the shoel shar damaged the mashil shar. So I borrowed your shar, and then my own shar damaged the shar that I borrowed from you. And the Mishnah is being mechadish that the shoel is chayiv to pay the mashil for the shar. So the Gemara rejects that as well, because the Braisa says that one of my chayiv, that a shor tam is mishalim chatzi nezek, and only a shor muad is mishalim nezek shalim. But le malay, can't the mashal say to the shawel, wait a second, you borrowed my shor, and now the shor is gone, now it's dead. So ilu itzik me'alma, if it was damaged by someone else, by some random third party, you would be chayiv to pay me nezek shalim, because I lent it to you, and the shawel is chayiv even in onsin. So even if it was something that was unexpected, that was out of the ordinary, you'd be chayv to fully reimburse me. Hashtadaski turidach, and what? Now because it was your shar that did the damage, palganisku d'mishalamitli, you're going to only pay me chatzin
nezek. That doesn't make any sense. So says Gemara Liolam, Daski Tur Dimashal Tur Deshoel. Let's go back to the first possibility. It was the Mashil Shor that damaged the Shoel's Shor. And that which we asked that the Mashil should be Pater, because the Shoel is the one that has to be Shomer the Shor that it shouldn't damage. We're talking about a unique arrangement over here, where the Shoel was Mekabel to guard the Shor that he was borrowing, that it shouldn't get hurt, that it shouldn't get damaged. And if anything happens to it, he will be responsible. But V'lo Kibel Olav Shmiras Nizakav, he was never Mekabel to watch it, that it shouldn't do damage to others. And Memele the Chiv to guard over that Shor, that it shouldn't do damage, is the chiv to guard that shor that it shouldn't do damage, and the chiv tashlumim, if it does damage, stays with the original owner, because the shomer never accepted that responsibility. So now that it damaged the shor of the shoel, the bala shor has to pay whatever the normal payment is, which is for a tam it's chatzi nezek, and for a muad it's nezek shalim. There is a machlokas in the rishonim, meaning is this ukimta, that the case is that I accepted upon myself to watch your shor that it shouldn't get hurt when I'm borrowing it, but not that it shouldn't hurt others. So is that like a standard agreement, or is that an unusual agreement? Meaning, does the shomer need to be mekabel on himself beferish that he's being shomer the shor of the mafkid that it shouldn't do damage to others? So the Rush writes that the shmir of the shor that it shouldn't damage others is incorporated in the regular shmir that you have to do for a shor when you borrow it. That's not that's not something unique that you accept upon yourself. And over here, the Chiddush is that he dafka made it tonight that he's not responsible for it. But normally, of course, he'd be responsible. Magen Mishnah says that's also the Shitas HaRashba and the Shitas HaRambam. The Ravid in Hilchas Niskei Mamon, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud, however, disagrees with the Rambam. He says that it's not included in the Chiyuvei Shmiras HaShar, and you need a specific Hischaivus to be Shomer the Shar that it shouldn't be Mazik Acherim. That in a standard borrowing agreement, I am not accepting upon myself the responsibility of what your shor is going to do to others. So that's something that would have to be accepted, and therefore when our Mishnah says it wasn't accepted, it simply wasn't accepted. This was a standard agreement. That's the Mechudesh Tikashita of the Ravid. Tosas raises the question that if the Shoel was not Mekabel on himself to be Shomer the Shor of the Mashil that it shouldn't damage others, so then it's Pashut that the Mashil is Mishalim Nizkei Behemto like any other Shor Mazik, that it's Tam Chatzi Nezik Mu'en Nezik Shalim. I mean, what's the Chiddush? If the Shovel never accepted responsibility, so obviously that responsibility remains with the Mashil. So Tosa suggests that there's Makom to have argued that the Shovel is Mekabel on himself, only that he shouldn't have to pay if the Shor of the Mashil damages other people's property. But it could be his Kavana was to guard the shor of the mashil that at least it shouldn't damage his own shor. Meaning, when I said I'm not going to take responsibility for damages that your shor does, the havamina is that I meant for damages that your shor does to other people. But of course, I'm taking responsibility for damages that your shor does to me. I'm not expecting you to have to pay me when you're doing me the favor of lending me your shor. So that's the Kamash Milan, that no, when he doesn't take responsibility of damage that this borrowed shor does, he takes zero responsibility, even klape atzmo. That's what Tosfos understands. So says Gemara, ihachi, if that's the case that the Brice is dealing with, that you were not mekabel on yourself, shmiras nizakav, the shmira of damages that this shor will do, ema seifa, well then the seifa of the Brice says, nifritza belayla. If the mechitza that was guarding this shor came down in the middle of the night, or shepetzua listim, or bandits came and knocked and opened up the door to allow the shor out, v'yatzav izika, and then it went out and did damage, pater, the sefer says you're pater, the shomer's pater from pain. So it sounds like only if it was nifritza b'layla is pater habayom, but if it was nifritza b'yom, chayiv, the shomer is chayiv in paying for the damages that this behema did. But halo kibel of shmiras nizakav, what do you mean he's chayiv? There should be no case where the shoel is going to be chayiv for the damage done by this animal. He was not mekabel upon himself to guard it from any from doing any damage. So the Rishonim raised the question, maybe the Brisa means taka that the mashil is going to be chayiv, that the shomer is not mekabel any shmiras and zakav. So like we said, that he's not responsible for any of that. So maybe that's good for what the Brisa meant, that when we say that you're going to be chayiv, if it was a nifritza b'yom, you'd be chayiv. It means the mashil is going to be chayiv. chayiv if it's nifritza b'yom. So the Rashba, Tosa Rush, and Rabbeinu Peretz suggest that l'gabi the mashil, it shouldn't make any difference whether it was nifritza b'yom or nifritza b'layla. What's the whole svara to be mechalik between nifritza b'layla and nifritza b'yom? Is it nifritza b'layla? I had no idea that the fence came down. I had no way of knowing because it was the middle of the night. But b'yom, I'm always looking over my properties and seeing what I have b'yom, and therefore I should have been aware when something happened b'yom. Well, the mashil, it's not even in his property. He has no reason to know one way or the other. So it can't be that we're talking about the mashil. The Ravid is, according to Shita Mukbet, says that the mashil is always going to be chayiv, whether it's nifritz b'yom or if it's nifritz b'layla, because the shomer was not mekabel to be shomer this behema that it shouldn't do damage. So it's as if he left it without any shmira. So of course, if you leave it without any shmira, you're going to be chayiv. Meaning, I gave my animal to somebody who I know will not watch it, so that it shouldn't damage. So mela, I'm always going to be chayiv. So it's two opposite directions that the Rishonim take, right? The Rashba, and the Rashba, the Rabbeinu Peretz said that the mashal should always be pater because it was never his responsibility to know when the wall was nifretz. But the Ravid understands, no, the mashal is always going to be chayiv because he left it without any real shmira. Right? The Gemara answers, hachika amar. This is what it means to say, im kibel lav shmiras nezakav, meaning when we say the seifa of this brisa, we're switching the case. Meaning, enochinami, the ratio of the brisa was talking about where I was mekabel, that I will guard your shore that it shouldn't get hurt, but I was not mekabel to guard your shore that it shouldn't damage others. Then we say, im kibel lav shmiras nezakav, and if I was mekabel to even guard it that it shouldn't damage others, and then the shor of the mashal went and gored other shvarim, chayiv. Then the shomer has to pay tashlumi nezek. But even in such a case where he's mekabel to be shomer on himself, the shmiras niske ashar nifritza b'layla shapetzua lissim yatzav izika pater. But even in such a case where I was mekabel that I'm responsible for any damages that it does, but if it's nifritza b'layla or patzua lissim and then it did damage, then I'm be pater. So the Gemara asks from the Braisa on Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar holds as no chiyuv on niske shein v'regel in a chatzar ashutafim. So now the Gemara moves to that topic. Eini, is that really the din that there's no chiyuv shein v'regel in a chatzar that's owned jointly? V'hatani Rav Yosef, but didn't Rav Yosef teach us a brisa that said that chatzar ashutafim ve'apundak? If you have a chatzar ashutafim, or if you have a pundak, an inn, and one of the shor of one of the shutafim or one of the guests damages the shor of the other shutaf or the other guest, chayv ben al shein ve'al regel. You're chayv for shein and regel, and that's not considered to be rishus harabim, where you'd be potter for shein v'regel, because only shutafim or orchim are allowed to be there. So it's not a rishus harabim; it's a rishus yachid, and therefore you can be chayv. But that price is a kasha Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar had said that shein v'regel are potter in a chatzar hashutafim. So over here you see that you're chayiv. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have just said that this price is talking about a case, talking about a place where there's no rishus for the mazik to bring his shor nor his peiros, but the nizik was allowed to bring his peiros there. And mainly, even though they're shutafim in the chatzar, Rabbi Lazar would be moda in such a case that the mazik is chayiv because he brought his shor in there shalom b'rishus, and the chatzar was miyuchad for the peiros of the nizik. So therefore, it's considered stay acher. But the Rashba writes that the Gemara doesn't want to give this answer because the chatzar shutafim and pundak are mentioned together. So it's mistaber that just like in a pundak, they're both allowed to bring their payros, so too the chatzar shutafim that we're talking about must be a place where they're both allowed to bring their payros. So the Gemara asks, Yufta Rabbi Lazar, that over here in this price it seems to say that in a chatzar shutafim, you're chayiv for shein v'regel, and yet Rabbi Lazar said you're pater for shein v'regel. So I'm like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar would respond, "V'tizbara masnisa milo pligi." What, you think that there's not a machlokas in brises? You're coming to attack me because you have a brisa that goes against me? There's a brisa that supports me as well. Vatanya, there's another brisa. Arba'a klalos say Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer ben Ezekin, that there are four rules that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar gave about damages in different types of properties. Kol shu rishus lenizik v'lo lemazik. Let's say you have a property. Rule number one: you have a property that the nizik is allowed to be there and the mazik is not allowed to be there. Well, then chayiv bakol. Then the mazik is chayiv in everything. The mazik trespassed. He had no right to be there, even on keren, on the keren tam. He'd be chayiv nezek shalem. He had no right to be there. He's going to have to pay for all damages. Meaning, my animal trespasses into your field where your stuff. You're allowed to do whatever you want in your field. You're allowed to keep whatever items you want out in your field. My animal trespasses and does damage. Of course, I'm going to be chayiv nezek shalem. Klal number two, demazik v'lo l'nizik. Let's say it's my field and my animal is running around and doing its thing in my field, and you have no right to be there, and then you bring your shor into my field, and my animal, my watchdog, takes care of it. So pater mikol, then the mazik is absolutely pater, because you shouldn't have trespassed into my property. Klal number three, lozeh v'lozeh, if they both have rights to be there, kigon chotzer hashutafim, this is the key line, such as a chotzer hashutafim v'abika, or a place where everyone goes to allow their flocks to graze. Pater ba al hashen v'al regel. You're pater for shen v'regel because it's not a reshus that's miyuchad for the nizik, so it's not considered stay acher. The Torah says you chay v'shen v'regel and stay acher, but if it's not miyuchad for the nizik, it's not called stay acher. But al negicha v'al negifa v'al neshicha v'al revitza v'al biita tam mishal chatz nezik mo mishal nezik shalim. But any purposeful intent to damage type of act where it kicks and it tramples and it gores and it does those things, so then you follow the regular dinim of Tam and Muad. Then the fourth klal is lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. What if neither of them have reshus to enter there? Kigon chatzar she'enu shel shneihem. It's a chatzar that belongs to neither of them. Chayiv b'al hashen v'al regel, al negicha, the chayiv for shen v'regel, but al negicha, al neshicha, al negifa, al revitza, al bi'ita, tam shayim chatzin nezik v'mashalim nezik shalim. Then you follow the normal dinim of Keren with chatzin nezik and nezik shalim. Okay, but katani mihas, let's go back to that third rule. We said chatzar hashen Shutafim v'abika paterba al hashen v'al regel. So Rabbi Elazar says, you see, a brisa that says that you pater for shen v'regel and a chatzar shutafim, that goes against the brisa of Rav Yosef that you thought was gonna do me in. Here I have a brisa that supports me. So the Gemara explains that according to Rabbi Elazar, the brisas disagree with each other, and therefore he passes like the second brisa. However, it could be that the brisas don't disagree with each other. Kasha adadi. On the surface, it seems that there's a stira between the two brisas. That Rav Yosef brought a brisa that said that you're chayiv on shein v'regel and chatzar shutafim, and Rav Shem ben Elazar is quoted is brought by, to support Rav Elazar that you're potter on shein v'regel and chatzar shutafim. So answers Gemara, not so fast. Kitanya hi, when it says in the brisa of Rav Shem ben Elazar that you're potter on shein v'regel and chatzar shutafim, but chatzar miyuchedes lazeh v'lazeh. That's the kind of chatzar that's designated for both the mazik and the nizik. Bein l'peiros, bein l'shvarim. That they're both allowed to bring whatever they want into that chatzar. And since they're both allowed to bring their peiros, and they're both allowed to bring their oxen, it has a din of Rosh Hasharabim, and shein v'regel or potter in Rosh Hasharabim, and keren is chayiv in Rosh Hasharabim. So it follows all the normal dinim of Rosh Hasharabim. But ahid Rav Yosef, the brisa of Rav Yosef that says you're chayiv for shein v'regel in the chatzar ashutafim, the chatzar miyuchedes l'peiros, yem miyuchedes l'shvarim. That's a chatzar where yes, it's owned jointly by the two of them, by the mazik and the nizik, but it's a jointly owned property where they had an agreement that they're only allowed to bring peiros there. They're not allowed to bring shvarim there. And one of them went and brought a shor to the gabi shein havila chatzar nizik. So the gabi damages of shein, it's a chatzar hanizik because the nizik was in the right by having his peiros there. The mazik was in the wrong by having his shor there, and therefore you're going to be chayiv and shein v'regel in such a case, even though it's a chatzar ashutafim. And they cannot. It's meduyuk in the lashon of the brises this way. The ketani hacha, because in the brise that Rav Yosef brought, that's mechayiv for shein v'regel in the chatzar shutafim. It says chatzar shutafim v'hapundak. So dumya de pundak. It's similar to a pundak that it serves. A pundak is meant for merchants that are coming with their items to sell. So who brings behemos into a pundak? That is, you would never do that. That would be a terrible idea. The animals would damage all the merchandise that people are bringing. So when it puts chatzar ashutafim in the same category as a pundak, we must be talking about the type of chatzar ashutafim where animals are not welcome, where only peiros are welcome. V'katani hasam, and yet the brayse of Rav Shimon Elazar that paters for shein v'regel and chatzar ashutafim says chatzar ashutafim v'habika. Dumya de bika. So that's similar to a bika. That a bika is a rishos where everyone goes and brings their animals to graze. So the chatzar shutafim in that context must be a place where they're both allowed to bring their animals. And if they're both allowed to bring their animals, it has a din of rishos sarabim, which is pater b'shein v'regel and chayiv and keren. So shema mina. So it's muchach. This diuk is very clear that we could be mitaritz the stira in the brisos that the chatzar that they're both allowed to bring peiros and shvarim into is considered rishos sarabim, and therefore you're potter v'shein v'regel. A chatzah that they're only allowed to bring peiros into, and they're not allowed to bring oxen into, is considered rishus hanizik, and you're going to be chayiv shein v'regel. So it's not a stira at all. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Does this make sense? This svara to be miyashiv, the b'risa is that a chatzah that's miyuchedus to peiros, but not for shvarim, is considered a rishus hanizik. Maskvar b'zeira, kivin to miyuchedus to peiros, wait a second. If it's chatzot miuchedas for both of them to bring peiros, and that's why you want a pater mishen v'regel, but you need, in order to be chayiv for shen v'regel, you need a bir b'stei acher, that the nezik should be in stei acher, not in the chatzot hamazik. V'leko, but that's not what you have over here, because this chatzot belongs equally to the mazik legabe peiros. How can you call that stei acher? Meaning, if they're both allowed to bring peiros into this chatzot, how can you say, oh, it's the nizik's chatzer? No, it's not. It's not stay acher. It's the mazik's chatzer also. He's equally allowed to bring payrolls into it. So Amalei Abaye responds, the mazik didn't bring peiros. The mazik had his shor in there. So legabe a shor, he had no rights. And legabe that which got damaged, the nizik's peiros, he had rights. The nizik had rights to bring his peiros there. So that's a stay acher. That qualifies as a stay acher. So the Gemara had mentioned that let's chazer over what we had. We had a machlokas amoraim, whether you chayiv shein v'regel in a chatzar shutafim. And we said, oh, but there's a brisa that supports each side. That one brisa says you chayiv, the other brisa says you're potter. So he said, that's not a stira in brisa, it's not supporting each side. Those brisas can easily be reconciled with each other. One is talking about a chatzar shutafim where you're allowed to bring oxen, and the other is talking about a chatzar shutafim where you're not allowed to bring oxen. So now says Gemara, well, the next step then is, maybe the machlokas amarayim wasn't really a machlokas. Meaning we initially quoted machlokas amarayim, then thought that the brises each support a different side of the machlokas amarayim. But now we said there's no machlokas in the brises. So maybe just like there's no machlokas in the brises, there's no machlokas in the amarayim. Amalei Ravach midif the Ravina, lema mid the masnisa lo pligi, just like the brises don't disagree, and each one somehow is a slightly different type of chatzar shutafim, amarayim ami lo pligi. Maybe the amarayim don't disagree either, that Rav Chista and Rav Lazar did not disagree about the halacha. Each one says their din in a slightly different case of a chatzar shutafim. There Rav Chista is mechayiv shein v'regel chatzar shutafim, is talking about a chatzar that's mishutefes only for peiros but not for shvarim, and therefore it has a din of rishus siyachid. And Rav Lazar, who patrus shein v'regel chatzar shutafim, is talking about a chatzar that you're allowed to bring shvarim into as well, and therefore it has a status of rishus rabim. So Amalei in, he said, yeah, it could be that the amarayim do not disagree. Each one is talking about a different type of a chatzar shutafim. V'imtim tzolom arpligi, and even if you do want to say that they disagree, you could say that they don't disagree in every chatzar shutafim. They only disagree in the chatzar that's miuchedes for payrolls but not for shvarim. And what they disagree about is bekushyad Rabbi Zeira bepiruka da abaye pligi. Their whole machlokas was about the maskefla Rabbi Zeira and the amr le abaye that we said before. Meaning, does the fact that the mazik have the right to bring his payrolls in mean that it's not stay acher? It doesn't qualify as stay acher. Or do we say, no, but the mazik had no right to bring a shor in, and therefore it is stay acher? So Rabbi Zeira had said, it's not stay acher if the mazik has a right to bring his shor in. So that's Rav Lazar Shita, like Rabbi Zeira in his Kasha, that the Chatzar Meshutefes only for Peiros is considered to be Rishus HaRabim, where you're Potter and Shein V'Regel. And Rav Chista said, no, you weren't allowed to bring your Shar, and therefore it's like Abaye, and therefore it's a Rishus HaNizik when it comes to Shein V'Regel. Okay, now the Gemara explains, we can go back to the statement about the four rules, the four types of properties, and we're going to explain it. So Gufa, the Brice had said, Arba'a Klolos Hayir Rav Shimon Elazar Omer B'Nizakin, that there are four rules that Rav Shimon Elazar formulated when it comes to Nizakin. Kol Shu Rishus L'Nizik V'lo L'Mazik, if the Nizik has the right to be there and not the Mazik, Chayiv B'Kol. So obviously the Mazik is going to be Chayiv for everything. So why does it say Chayiv B'Kol? Al HaKol Lo Katan. It doesn't say that you Chayiv for all the Avos Nizikin. El Chayiv B'Kol. It says you Chayiv on B'Kol B'Kulei Nezik, which makes it sound like there is no din of Chatzi Nezik, that even a short time is going to pay Nezik Shalem. So money, who is the Shita that holds that a short time is chayiv nezek shalein because it trespasses. I mean, if the shartam goes and gores in Rosh Hashanah, I'm only going to be chayiv chatzi nezek. But if my shartam goes and trespasses into your property and damages your animal there, then I'm going to pay nezek shalein. So that's Rabbi Tavrini, the Amar, Meshuna Karen, Bechatzar Nizik, Nezek Shalem, Meshalem, that Karen changes once we're in the Chatzar Nizik, once the animal trespasses, and it's going to pay Nezek Shalem. That is Taka, the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. But is this price really assuming like Rabbi Tarfon? Ema Seifa, but then you read in the fourth klal in the Brisa, where we said, Lola Zeva Lola Ze, where neither one, this is a simple reading of the Brisa, has a right to enter there. They're both trespassers. Kigon Chatzar She'inu Shal Shnehem, Chayiv Bal Hashen Vel Regel, Yir Chayiv on Shein and Regel. So first we have to explain what is that case exactly, and then we'll see why it's inconsistent with Rabbi Tarfon. So my Lola Zeva Lola Ze, what does Lola Zeva Lola Ze mean? If it means what you think it means, meaning the simple reading, that neither the Mazik nor the Nizik has a right to be there, they're both trespassers. The Nizik had no right to put his fruits there. The Mazik had no right to bring his shard there. It belongs to somebody else. No, that can't be a case where you're chayiv and shein v'regel, because in order to be chayiv for shein v'regel, it needs to be steacher. Steacher means the sada of the nizik, but the nizik has no rights to be here either. So elapshita, so it must be that lola zeh v'lola zeh. When we say that that the Mazik and Nizik do not both have rights to be there, it doesn't mean that they both don't have rights to be there. It means only one of them has a right to be there, namely the Nizik. So that's what it means, Lola Zeva, Lola Zeva, that the Nizik has a right to be there and not the Mazik. Okay, Katani Seifa, now let's see what the Klal is when you have the Nizik has a right to be there and not the Mazik. So Tam Shal Chatzi Nezik, Mun Mishal Nezik Shalem, that Tam pays Chatzi Nezik still. So that's Asalm Rabbanan. Tamri Mishuna Karen Bechatzar Nezik. So Reish Rabbi Tarfon say for Rabbanan, that follows the sheet of the Rabbanan who say that you still pay Chatzin Nezek even in the Chatzer HaNizik. So it's interesting. When it came to the first klal of the Brisa, the first klal seemed to tell me that if my shor trespasses your property and does damage, so I'm going to pay Nezek Shalim in those shortam. And then the fourth klal seems to tell me that if my shor trespasses into your property and does damage, even though it's a short time, I'm going to pay Nezek Shalim. It's a machlokas tanaim, and the brisa takes both sides. So it says, we're in. Yeah, sometimes you have like that. Even though you were tarech to be miyashiv the mission according to one tana, go and get that out of here. You know, say like me, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon, Sefer Rabbanan. Better to say that the Reisha of the brisa is going like Rabbi Tarfon, and the Sefer is going like the Rabbanan. So that's what's happening, that the Klala Rishon is Shitas Rabbi Tarfon, the Klala Revi'i is Shitas HaRabbanan. So the Gemara brings another teretz to the Stira within the Brisa itself, between Klal 1 and Klal number 4. Ravina Mishmei the Rava, Amar Ravina says, no, we could be Miyashiv the Stira as follows. Kula Rabbi Tarfon, the whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Again, Rabbi Tarfon holds that if my short time trespasses into your property and does damage, I'm chayiv nezek shalem. So what do you do with the fourth halacha then? Well, my lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. What does it mean when we say that if it's a property that's lo lezeh v'lo lezeh? So again, we initially thought lo lezeh v'lo lezeh means neither has the right to be there. Then we said, no, lo lezeh v'lo lezeh means the mazik doesn't have a right to be there, but the nizik does have the right to be there, which means that it's the same case as the first case of the Mishnah. So lo lezeh v'lo lezeh l'peros. Lo lezeh v'lo lezeh means that neither of them are allowed to bring peros, meaning that both of them are not allowed to bring payrolls. Only one of them is allowed to bring payrolls there. Uzel, Uzel, the Shvarim. But both the Nizik and the Mazik are allowed to bring oxen there. So therefore, the Legabe Shein, Havila Chatzar Nizik. As far as Shein is concerned, it's considered the Chatzar Nizik because only the Nizik was allowed to bring payrolls there. But Legabe Karen, as far as Karen is concerned, since they're both allowed to bring Shvarim there, Havila Rosh Hasarabim. It's considered Rosh Hasarabim, and in Rosh Hasarabim, Karen Tam pays Chatzi Nezek, and the Karen Muad pays Nezek Shalim. So says Mar Ihachi, if that's the case, why does the Brisa say Arba'a, that there are four klalim, Shlosha Havu, there are really only three, meaning the first three, the dinim in the fourth klal, are already incorporated in the first three klalim. because all the fourth klal did is it came up with a case where it's a chatzra nizik legabe shein, and it's chatzra mazik legabe, and it's a rosh hasarabim legabe keren. But we already discussed what the din is about a chatzra nizik legabe shein and about a rosh hasarabim legabe keren. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, shlosha klalos barba makamos. There are only three rules, but it plays out in four different places. So it's not really four separate rules. Okay, now that we've explained in the preceding Mishnayos what types of things have to happen in order for a person to be chayiv in nezek, so the Mishnah is going to discuss how you actually pay. But it's very, very cryptic, and that's what Rashi writes, that kulam asisim farish b'gemara, none of this Mishnah makes sense when you first read it. We'll do our best, though. Shum kesef. Shum kesef means when you assess the nezek, it has to be with kesef. How much it's worth as far as kesef. Shava kesef, the mazik has to pay the nezek with things that are shava kesef, which Gemara is going to explain means karka. Bifnei beizdin, v'alpi edim. You can't be mechayiv the mazik to pay unless two edim came and testified how his mamon did the hezek in front of a beizdin. Bnei chorin, those edim need to be people who are bnei chorin, they cannot be avadim. Bnei bris, they need to be Jewish people. V'anashim b'chal anezek. And by the way, women are included in Dinei Nezikin just like men are. So if a woman's shor gores a man's shor, or a man's shor gores a woman's shor, it's all the same dinim. They have to pay just the same as everybody else. The Achronim point out that this din does not belong in this Mishnah. Meaning, who's chayiv to pay? We already discussed that. If you gore shor shal hagdish and a shor shal nachri and all, that was in the preceding Mishnah. This does not really belong over here. So the Rashash writes that since the Mishnah had said al pi edim and bnei bris, and nashim are not b'chal bnei bris, right, when it talks about the Edim, the Apostle Edus, so when the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah right away has to say, but by the way, Nashim B'chal HaNezek, that even though in previous Mishnayos we said that only B'nai Bris are included in Dinei Nezikin, that just meant as opposed to of the Chavim, which have their own separate Dinim. It did not mean, as opposed, meaning the word B'nai Bris over here, by Edus is Lafuke Nashim, B'nai Bris previously was Lafuke Nachrim. So we have to point out, as far as the previous use of B'nai Bris, that did not exclude women. Women are still have all the same dinim of Nezikin. V'anizik v'amazik b'tashlumin. Both the Nizik and the Mazik are going to have to pay bear some of the responsibility sometimes, which seems unfair sometimes, that the Nizik should have to bear any level of responsibility. It was, he was the one that got damaged, but sometimes you don't get fully reimbursed, even though, you know, you total your car, and the cars happen to be very, very expensive nowadays, so whatever the book value is can't really cover a new car for you. Okay, sometimes you lose that as a Nizik as well. So now the Gemara takes phrase by phrase. My shum kesef. What does it mean when it says shum kesef? Some of you, the shum zeh, lo yehei ela b'kesef. This shuma that Beis Din does when they evaluate how much the nezek was, they have to do it with kesef and not with something else. So tanina la d'tan rabbanan. We have a brisa that says exactly this. Meaning this brisa, we rely on la halacha from based on the Mishnah. It says in the brisa, parish yizika talis. If let's say a para damaged a talis, it trampled on a talis and it damaged it, or talis yizika para. Someone left their talis out and a para tripped on that talus, so the para got damaged from the talus. Say no mum tete para batalus. We do not say that Beis Din is going to take the para that damaged and just give the para to the guy who owned the talus whose talus was damaged. And even if the para was worth a lot more than the nezek, we don't do that. We don't say that talus papara. We don't say that that you're going to take the guy, if the talus damaged the para, that the bala para just gets to keep the talus. El shamanosa bedamim. Rather, we evaluate the value of the damage. How much damage was done? Was it $100? Was it $200? And then you got to pay whatever the damage was. That's how Rashi understands our Gemara. Tosfos points out that is far too obvious. Meaning, like, what would the Hava Amina possibly be that you're just going to give the guy the thing that did the damage? I have no interest. I have a talus. I'm not a person who owns cows. You're just going to give me your cow? I have no interest in your cow. What's the Hava Amina that you would do that? And it has nothing to do with the Nezek either. Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that we're talking about a parah damaged talus al yidei bi'ita, where the chiyuv is mishum keren. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though a shor tam is mishtali migufo, it doesn't mean that the nizik now is the proud owner of chatzi of the nezik within the guf of the parah. That's the chiddush, that you might think that mishtali migufo when it comes to a shor tam means literally migufo, that he now has to he now becomes the proud owner of the guf as far as up until the amount that he's actually owed. So no, it doesn't actually mean mean that? It means that you only pay up until half the value of the mazik, but not that you actually get half of the mazik. Shava kesef. Then we said shava kesef. The Tan Rabbanon, the Brisa teaches us shava kesef. Melamit shein beizdin niskakin el nuchasim sheishon rachayis. When beizdin comes to the nichsei mazik to collect the chov, they're only going to go to karka. They're not going to be gova from other properties to pay back a chov. Avalim kadam nizik v'tavs metaltlin beizdin gova no mayed. But if the nizik comes and grabs metaltlin from the mazik as his payment, so beizdin can allow him to keep that based on the value of those items that he took, equaling that which he's owed. So Amar Mar Shava Kesef Melamit Shein Beizdin Niskakin El Nuchasim Sheishon Rachayis. My mashma. How does the word Shava Kesef mean karka? Meaning we have this brisa that explains. Oh, you know what the Mishnah means when it says Shava Kesef? It means that Beizdin's only going to collect karka. Where do you see Shava Kesef means karka? What is the word? How do the words mean karka? So Amar Rabba Bar Ula Davar Shava Kol Kesef. Shava Kesef means something that could be worth any amount of money. And when assessing the value of karka, it sometimes could be worth any amount of money. Why? Because karka doesn't have dinim of ona'a. That if you pay way more than the value of the karka, we do not say the mekach is batel, and the guy doesn't have to reimburse the money that he overcharged you. Because there's no such thing as dinim of overcharging when it comes to karka. There is a machlok rishonim. Mamish no such thing, or within reason no such thing? I mean, is it just not up to ishtos? But if he double charges you, maybe double, that's maybe then we'd have dinim of ona. So that's a discussion we've shown. There's a further discussion we've shown why it is that ain't ona of bikarkaos. The shita of the re quoted in Tosos Maseches Bava Basra is that it's simply a gzeiras hakasov. However, the Rashbam and the Sefer HaChinuch write ain't ona bikarkaos because karka doesn't really have a value. The lokeach pays kesef, a lot of kesef for this sada. It's then that's what it's worth for him, that very often karka is worth more to one person than it is to somebody else, that he needs a place that's close to his work, he needs something that's close to his other fields or something like that. The Ramban ala Torah and the Aliyas Rabbein Yonah write that when we say enonah the karkos, it just means you don't have to be machzir the ona'a. It just means that it's not adjudicable in court, but it does not mean that you're allowed to do that. You're not allowed to overcharge and you're not allowed to, if you see that he's charging you too little, you're not allowed to take advantage either when it comes to karka. So it just means that it's not something that you're going to be obligated to pay for. They seem to assume that it's gzeiras hakasuv. Avadim mushtaros nami ein lahen ona'a. Avadim mushtaros also don't have ona'a, the Gemara asks. So how can you say that it means necessarily karka if the word shava kasuv just means something that could be worth anything because there's no ona'a? Avadim also don't have ona'a. Shtaros also don't have ona'a. Ela amarab bar ula davar hanik nebekasuv. Shava kasuv means something that one of the darkei kinyon to acquire it is with kesef. Kesef is not a derech hakinyan to acquire movable items, only karka. Well, frakta gemara, same kasha. Avad mishtaros nami niknu kesef. But you could acquire avad mishtaros with kesef, not just with meshicha. So elo amravashi, third possibility. Shava kesef velo kesef anikulu kesef ninu. Shava kesef means something that's worth kesef but isn't itself kesef. All metaltlin on some level is very much like kesef and therefore would fit in the category of kesef and not shava kesef because you can move them from one place to another. Karka is the only thing that cannot be moved from one place to another, and therefore it's not kesef itself, it's only shava kesef. So Rami the Rav Yudabar Chen L'Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua Tana, the Brisa that we had quoted said that shava kesef l'ami chen bezin niskakel l'chasim sheshen achrayus, that bezin is only going to collect from karka v'atanya. But we have another Brisa that says that the Baal Abar is Yishalim Kesef Yashiv Lebaalav, the Pasuk says. So the phrase Yashiv is extra because it could have just said Yishalim Kesef Lebaalav. You pay the Kesef to the Baalim. So what does that word Yashiv teach me? Lerabul Shavah Kesef Afilu Subin. It tells me that the Mazik could pay Shavah Kesef even Subin. He doesn't have to pay with money, with cash specifically. He could pay with low grade items. So you see that you're going for the Mazik even Metaltalin. Subin is not Karka, it's Metaltalin. So isn't that a steal? So says Mar Hachem Eskin and the Mishnah, the Bais over here, talking about Biyasmi with Yisomim that are paying the Nizakim of their father. That Bezin is Gova only Karka from them and not Metaltlin, because Metaltlin is Yasmi. Allah Meshabdi the Balchov, the Metaltlin that gets handed down by Yerusha is not Meshubah to Balchov. Ibi Yasmi. Well, if we're talking about Yisomim, maybe a Sefer. The Sefer goes on to say Im Kadam Nizik V'Tafas Metaltlin Bezin Gova Lo Mehen. That if the Nizik goes and grabs the Metaltlin, he gets to keep it. Well, Ibi Yasmi, my Bezin Gova Lo Mehen. Man, Why would Beis Din allow him to keep it? You're not allowed to collect metalton from Yisomim. So Kedama Rav Amram Nachman Shetafas Mechayim. Hachanami Shetafas Mechayim. No, the case is the guy was tofis and metalton while the father was still alive. Oh, so then the Beis Din's govern also mehen. Then we said Bifnei Beis Din that so Gemara understands that the Mishnah tells me that the karka that your govern that the Beis Din's govern from the mazik has to be in front of Beis Din. That it has to be beyond a mazik and not beyond somebody who had acquired it from the mazik. That excludes the case of someone who sold those properties and then went to Beis Din. So Shmamina, that Beis Din will not collect from properties that you have since sold. But that's not true. Halacha psukei that a malva is gova from lekuchos as well. So that can't be what it's telling me. Elaprat leBeis Din hedyotos. No, when it says bifnei Beis Din, it means gotta go to a legitimate Beis Din. You can't go to a Beis Din of hedyotos that don't know how to adjudicate a din Torah. Still always good advice, even nowadays as well. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up with Alpi Adim tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.